Now, I'd like to welcome you as well. My name's Lloyd. I'm one of the associate pastor here. So thank you, Ben, for leading and the various items as well, whether that's from Ukraine or from Wales. So it's great to see so many visitors here as well. And I'm extremely worried on a night like this when all the lights are out. There's just too much glare coming from my head. So I'm apologies for that if that's the case. But Ben's already prayed for us and that God, not just me, but God will speak to us through his words now. Now, as the PowerPoint comes up there, what I'm going to be looking at is, around this time of year, what can we look at that just lasts for once a year, just at Christmas time? What can last for all of time? Now, in exactly a week, most of us now would have had our Christmas dinners and will likely be watching TV. Maybe you're the sort, so actually you'll be watching TV this time next week, and you've not moved from that spot since watching the King's Speech at 3 o'clock. Maybe that's you. Maybe some of you, I'm hoping this isn't going to be me, but maybe some of you will painstakingly, irritatingly, impatiently be making the toys that you've bought for your children, wishing you bought something a little bit easier, or that your wife bought something a bit easier. For others of you, maybe this time next week you'll still be clearing up, still be doing the dishes. Maybe some of you will be preparing the snacks ready for the evening to settle down. But this will be good news for some of you. A week tomorrow, it will all be over. It will be over. Some of you will be saying a loud amen to that. But there's so much work just for the one day, isn't there? Huge amount of work. Some of you perhaps can't wait for it to get to Boxing Day. You can't wait for Christmas Day itself to be over. Maybe that's for good reason. And then, so the blatantly obvious, Christmas just takes place once a year, just once a year. Some of you think, thank goodness for that. Some of you think, oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day. And then you go into the song. But there are things that just take place once a year. For example, Easter, harvest, Thanksgiving for the Americans among us, our birthdays, New Year celebrations, they happen one day out of 365 days. Now, there'll be many things that we actually do on Christmas Day itself, just on Christmas Day, that we do on that day, that we do not do any other time. We just do things on Christmas Day once a year. Maybe it's just Christmas time that you really actually get to spend time with family, just that one day a year, really. It's only at Christmas time that a tree appears in your house. It's only at Christmas time that you see things like Christmas crackers, advent calendars, a royal speech, Brussels sprouts. The list is endless. Well, it's not endless, but it's a pretty long list, at least. Now, I'm just going to look at a few quick things that Christmas gives us just once a year. Just once a year. So, once a year, perhaps the first thing that we might think of being surrounded by it now is decorations, the once-a-year decorations. Be honest with me, put your hand up. Who had their tree up when it was still November? A few of you, shamed. But we had ours up in the loft, but decorating the tree, it's that kind of special time in the year, that scene, you can picture it, full of joy, full of hope, the family there doing the Christmas tree together. A wonderful scene. I didn't really get that growing up, actually. My mum didn't let us touch the tree. She didn't want us to ruin it. So that treatment always gave me that warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling of rejection. But as you decorate that tree in your house, as you put the lights up, I'm sure when you get to the end, you put your feet up, warm cuppa in your hand, cold outside, dark in the house, but you just get that warm light tonight, get that warm glow of the Christmas decorations. And maybe it's just in those moments, during those months of Christmas, the dark months, the cold early nights, and outside, it just gives you that warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling. You can't really explain it, but it's just a glimmer of hope. Perhaps it's just that glimmer of light surrounded by darkness. But we've got to ask, okay, we might feel that, but is that joy? Is that hope? Is it going to last? Will it last? Charles Dickens wrote, didn't he? Charles Dickens wrote, "Darkness is cheap," and Scrooge liked it. With cost of living, we're saying darkness is cheap because I can't afford electric. Now, joking aside, that is a real problem for some of us. And so we put the decorations up, we put up the tinsel, we put the Christmas lights up, but we still know what the real world is like. It's hard. It's actually dark. And so when the big day is over, a week tomorrow, when the big day is over, when the batteries have died, when the tree has withered, and the decorations that have distracted us, when they're down, what are we then left with? But this joy, this hope, is it real or is it fake? Is it temporary or is it lasting? So maybe that joy, maybe that hope that we sometimes feel at this time of year, maybe we can question is, well, is that something of the real joy? Is that something of the real hope that I was actually created for? So once a year decorations, perhaps the other thing we see once a year is a once a year family. Once a year family. Now, some of you here will be very blessed to have family close to you and nearby so that you can have regular family gatherings. Some of you might not think that's a blessing. But for some, like myself actually, unless there's some kind of event, like a wedding, maybe a funeral, then Christmas is the most likely time I'm going to see my family because we live quite far apart. And even then, it's difficult for myself, and I'm sure like many, many people in this room, I won't be seeing all my family this Christmas. And actually, for some of you here, I know, actually the subject of family will make us just long for something that we don't have, that we don't have that family member anymore. Well over 500,000 UK families will have an empty chair at Christmas lunch because someone they've lost this year. And this subject of family perhaps is painful for you. So when you see Christmas, actually, Christmas doesn't help. Actually, Christmas hurts. And we have some, as we've seen, as you've mentioned, we have some amazing sisters here from Ukraine in our church right now. They've been a blessing to us. But how much would they long to see their family? However, for some, seeing some family at Christmas, you know that over the next few days, and I don't give each other awkward looks now, but you know over the next few days, it's going to be like walking on eggshells a little bit. You know that there's that certain family member, that parent, that child, that in-law, and you know not to bring up that certain subject. Don't bring up politics. Stay away from Brexit. Don't mention it. I'm sure there's some family members we are so, so glad to see this time of year, but then kind of so glad to see leave as well after a few days. Now, I know I'm sounding a little bit like Scrooge here, but there's good news coming. Wait for it. So that's once a year family. Thirdly, a once a year Jesus. A once a year Jesus. There's probably some here. There's probably some that we know that will only give Jesus any kind of thought this time of year, just perhaps pay attention during a cow service. We like the story about Jesus, a little baby in a manger. But maybe just like a fake Christmas tree, once it's back in the box, sellotaped up and back in the loft again, it's a case of out of sight, out of mind. Well, maybe you give your time to a cow service. Maybe you're here out of tradition, because you like the carols, you've been brought here by a family member, but then after that, that's it for another year. And Jesus, well, out of sight, out of mind. And it's horrible. I think it's horrible to think that actually some people's thoughts about God are similar to their thoughts about Santa. For some, Jesus might be irrelevant most of the year. He's irrelevant most of the year. But we put in a request now and again of things that we want. We put in a request now and again. And like Santa, people make requests to Jesus and that just shows us we want all the things he can give us, but we don't actually want him. You think, maybe if I'm good enough, God will give me this stuff. Good health, more money, being content, happiness. And for some who think, Jesus just once a year, it's a nice story about a manger, but once a year is enough for me. God will be okay with that. Maybe that's a Jesus you know and you think about once a year. So all these things that we've looked at once a year, the once a year decorations that we put up, the once a year family that we might see or actually that we would love to have. And then there's the once a year gods, the cow service, to make sure you stay in his good books. Well, is there something that isn't just once a year, but for all of time? That's kind of our next heading, for all of time. Is there something more lasting? Is there something more hopeful? Does anything in your life really, truly last? Does hope last? Does joy last? Does peace last? And so We're going to look at three things now for all time. We're not going to look at for all time decorations. I don't think we want that. But for all time joy. Is there a for all time joy? Obviously, once the decorations for once a year, and perhaps when they're packed away, you think, oh, it's quite nice having my house look quite normal now. But the joy that we felt, the hope, the lights that it gave us, is that something that we can have all the time? This hope and joy that we have for a short while, does that show us something that actually I was made to experience this hope and joy all the time? Is there a greater hope? Is there a greater light when we're surrounded by a dark world? And did you notice in that Isaiah reading that we had? The people in Isaiah's day were exactly like the people in our own day. They were looking for hope. They were looking for peace in a world that had darkness in it. And so Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That was written about Jesus, but it was written 700 years before he was born. For Isaiah, this wasn't just a wishful thinking of something better will come along. This wasn't a fairy tale. This was what Isaiah had. It was a real hope in a certain future. A real hope, a real light being born into a darkness that would change the world as we know it. And this is something that's happening in history. This isn't a fairy story. This is something in history that happened. Jesus, who was also called Light of the World, was being born into our dark world. And this man, Jesus, look into it. You can investigate this. And millions on earth right now, billions throughout the course of history, people from different cultures, races, languages, and ages have thought Jesus to be trustworthy for their own lives and have known this lasting joy for themselves. Do you know that? That's what the angel said to the shepherds when the angels arrived, wasn't it? These shepherds on the hillside in darkness, and the angels say, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Here is our answer to the joy that we sometimes feel once a year. Here's a joy for all of time. For all people, it says, for you, for me. You see, with the decorations, they look lovely. I think they're great. But I think that joy reflects a deeper joy that we were made for and created for. Without Jesus in the picture in our life, like the tinsel and the tree, it doesn't last. With Jesus in the picture, even if we experience darkness, even if we've got rough circumstances, with Jesus in the picture, you can know lasting joy and peace and hope. How? That's the all-time joy. Let's look for the all-time family. The all-time family. We looked at family. And look, I don't want to take for granted that I will be seeing some of my family for this year. And there's many in this room who would absolutely long for that yourself. And for some, you would love to be, your family to be around, to see that family member's face once more, to know what it would be like just to hug them one more time. Maybe to have any family around you at all would be something. But is there more of a perfect, a longer-lasting family gathering that we could know for all time? Not just once a year, but for all time. And those Isaiah verses told us again, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Do you see what that's saying, those verses there? Do you see what it's saying? A child who is going to be born to us, who will become like us in every single way, who becomes like us so we can be brought into a family. And know, what does those verses say? And we could know an everlasting Father. This is what Jesus has done for us. He's brought us into a family. Jesus joins us in our darkness. Jesus joins us in our mess so we can be joined to his family. The Son of God became God our brother so we could know this everlasting Father. That's how we know joy and peace forever. because this everlasting Father is also called, what does it say there? He's also called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. So now, rather than painful goodbyes after Christmas or the loved ones that we just see once a year, through trusting Jesus alone, we can be brought into a for-all-time family. It's called the church. We're not perfect yet, but we're brought into a family where God himself is our everlasting Father. And there's another verse that shows us this. If you are trusting Jesus tonight, only if you're trusting Jesus tonight, you have this. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God's. And that is what we are. The love he's lavished on us. So what does that love look like? How are we brought into God's family? How do we get this for all time peace, hope and family? How do we get it? Well, finally, how do we get it? It's a gift. It's a gift. I wonder what you would like for Christmas. We'll ask that pretty much every year, aren't we? What would you like for Christmas? I'm sure we can think of some great gifts that we've had in the past. I'm sure we can think of some truly shocking gifts we've had in the past. A pair of socks once again. But when we're asked that question, what do you want for Christmas? It can be difficult, can't it? Not because there's nothing we want for Christmas, but usually we're faced with a problem. Usually the problem is either what we want is beyond someone's budget, that holiday to the Maldives, that brand new car on the driveway, that's outside most people's budgets, isn't it? So it's either outside people's budgets what we want, or the problem is it's outside of people's power to give us. I've had an accident on my left knee. I would like a new left knee, but I'm not sure my family got that for me this year. It's beyond their power. Actually, maybe what you would say, what do I want for Christmas? Oh, well, what I want is to not struggle with this anxiety or depression anymore. What I want for Christmas is peace in Ukraine and my family to be safe there. These things are beyond our budgets and beyond our power. Well, imagine budget or power weren't a barrier. What would you want for Christmas? Think big. You know, when we open a present, we react, don't we? And this is a present, a gift that we see here that gives us great joy, we're told. You know, sometimes we open up that Christmas gift, it's not quite what we were hoping for, so we pull out the polite smile and say, you really shouldn't have. You really shouldn't have. Well, that first Christmas was something that brought about, we're told, great joy. What we're talking about this first Christmas is exactly what your heart cries out for. And what's that? Luke chapter 2, verse 12 says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And you might think, that's not really what my heart's crying out for, a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. How will a baby being born about 2,000 years ago bring me, when I'm struggling, how is it going to bring me peace, great joy, and a family? Well, the clue's in the baby's name. The clue's in the baby's name. Joseph, in our reading, was told what to call the baby, wasn't he? Matthew chapter 1, 21. You're to give him the name Jesus, because his name means, because he will save his people from their sin. God's greatest gift to you is someone who can save you. This is what your heart cries out for. This is what you really need. We focus at Christmas rightly. We focus, Christmas focuses on the baby. The rest of the gospel focuses on Jesus, the adult. And especially it focuses on the last week of Jesus' life, where instead of a cute cradle, we see a cruel cross. Instead of being worshipped by wise men, we see Jesus being whipped and flogged. And he died on that cross, taking the punishment we deserve. This Prince of Peace, born on that first Christmas, died on Good Friday to bring you peace with God. And you might be here at a carol service, but I'll tell you this. We won't understand why Jesus came until we understand why Jesus died. And he came to save you from your sin, to take the place that you deserve, the punishment that you deserve for your sin. It's not your good behavior. It's not your attendance at a carol service that saves you. Jesus offers you forgiveness tonight as a free gift when you trust him. Hope, peace, joy, that we can feel this kind of time of year. This doesn't need to be a story of once upon a time. Actually, hope, peace, joy, family forgiveness can be now for all of time. Will you investigate this a bit more? Because if Christmas is true, if this is true, you can know lasting peace and hope. So Christmas song is going on already. But if this is true, you can know lasting peace and hope. If Christmas is true, if this story that I'm telling you is true, you are not alone. You're brought into a family. If Christmas is true, tonight, please come to an end of yourself, knowing that you cannot save yourself tonight, and even at your lowest moment in your life, turn to Jesus and be forgiven. We're going to sing now. I'm finished now, but we're going to sing now, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. And in that song, we sing, Let every heart prepare him room. Will you do that this Christmas? Is there a place in your heart for Jesus this Christmas? Not just for once a year, but for the whole of your life. And when you do that, only when you do that, will you know lasting hope, joy, eternal life, and the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Let every heart prepare him room. Will you do that tonight? If you want to investigate a bit further, there are booklets at the back which talk about this hope and confidence and joy that we can have, and they're a gift from the church. They'll be in the foyer, so please do grab one of them afterwards if you want to look a little bit more into what I've been saying. So please do stay for refreshments just through the doors there. Please do take one of the booklets which speak a bit more about what I've said. But if there's anything that's been mentioned tonight in the hymns or from what I've said, don't let it rest. You have eternity to gain. Please do speak to someone who comes to the church. But let me just pray now. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For us, a child is born. For us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you that because of Jesus, even though we're not at peace with God, through Jesus we can know this peace of God that will last for all eternity. That through Jesus we can know that joy, peace and hope, that we are brought into an everlasting family and we can know forgiveness because of what he's done at the cross. Lord, the cradle points to the cross. And Lord, we do pray that we'll find forgiveness there tonight for every one of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.